as companies like Siemens, we have also a responsibility for our employees. We need to re- and upskill, but the same responsibility I see has the government. So they need as people who maybe are now confronted with a radical change in their job profile needs to be supported so that they can get back on work. And of course, with a profile which meets the expectations of our times.
Welcome to the Regulating AI podcast. Join host Sanjay Puri as he explores the dynamic and developing world of artificial intelligence governance. Each episode features deep dives with global leaders at the forefront of regulating AI responsibly, tackling the challenges using AI can bring about head-on and enabling balance without hindering innovation.
Welcome to the Regulating AI podcast. Artificial intelligence, AI, stands at the forefront of technological evolution, with experts predicting that it could add trillions of dollars to our GDP, but it could also negatively impact our workforce and national security. So how do we regulate it without stifling innovation? Our podcast features insights from various perspectives, from industry leaders to government officials and leaders of advocacy groups. Together, they address pivotal questions that are needed to create practical legislation. I'm very excited to have Dr. Gunther Baitinger with us today. Dr. Baitinger is the Senior Vice President of Manufacturing at Siemens, a global conglomerate. I invited him on this show as it is very important to get different perspectives towards framing AI legislation. And we also wanted to get a perspective from a manufacturing expert. Welcome, Gunther. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the Regulating AI podcast.
Thank you, Sanjay, for inviting me. Really glad to be here. It's an honor.
Thank you. Gunther, for our audience, which is global, can you provide a brief overview of your role as the head of manufacturing and your experience in the industry?
Yeah, sure. So my history is industrial engineering. So I studied industrial engineering, lean management, and business administration. Also, and later on, ethical management in different universities in Germany, USA, and in Mexico. Yeah, I started with my career as a research collaborator and then joined the Siemens AG and held various responsibilities in different countries and businesses of Siemens, automotive, healthcare, drives, and now digital industries. And currently, my responsibilities is manufacturing, as you already mentioned it. I'm Senior Vice President of Manufacturing, also including then manufacturing excellence, digitalization of our factories, and of course, the introduction of new technologies is one of my main tasks. And that's more or less that.
Well, what I'm doing. That's a pretty wide range of responsibilities that you have. Gunther, how has artificial intelligence been integrated in your company's manufacturing processes? And have there been benefits of it that you have observed?
Definitely. First of all, I personally was involved with expert systems in a very early stage of manufacturing. I mean, expert systems, everybody knows them maybe, were very important for maintaining know-how and that what people have learned during their practices and doing their job. Nowadays, of course, with AI, there is so much more benefited in it. We have identified several areas for us where AI specifically offers a lot of benefits, like failure detection and avoidance we would like to increase reliability and reduce efforts while our people get supported by failure detection. Then, of course, planning and scheduling, a very classical area where AI will help. We need better planning and scheduling to improve machine utilization and reduce production time. Predictive prescriptive maintenance, reduce downtime and cost. We see benefits by process stabilization to increase robustness and increase the uptime of our machine. And last but not least, especially in Germany and in other countries where skilled labors are getting scarce, with worker guidance and experience transfer to support learning and skilling and upskilling. Yeah. And
go ahead, please.
I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, now,
but you asked me if we had already a particular benefit seen. Yes, of course. Maybe I pick one example. We were introducing in quality inspection, X-ray, and for X-ray and soldier joints, an automated optical inspection system, which were supported by neural networks, by convolutional neural networks. And that, in particular, reduced our efforts by up to 50%. And the first pass yield increased by 15%. And what was also interesting, false positive reduction of 60%. And this showed us that this system is definitely superior to other conventional inspection systems. And we were less dependent on domain-specific know-how that could, and this dependency could be reduced. That is one very strong effort for us, as we are in electronic production. Quality assurance is at the top of our interest. And that was something that was our proof that we have to make a systematic and scalable approach for AI in our manufacturing areas. Other example is this predicting downtime of spindles. As we are depaneling printed circuit boards, and now we are able, with the introduction of anomaly detection, that we at least six hours, sometimes even a day or 2 days before there is an occurrence, there's a failure, then we can exchange the spindle, and we avoid an unplanned downtime where people have to wait till the machine is repaired, and we have, of course, then a yield to losses in our output. That are some of two very significant examples.
Yeah, and I relate to the expert systems, having done work on Smalltalk, Ops5, Prolog, all those things going way back in time, using Lisp and all those. All the examples, Gunther, you've given show productivity increases, whether it is preventive maintenance, whether it is logistics, supply chain, all of them. And there has been a lot of talk that AI is going to have tremendous benefits in terms of productivity. Would you say have you quantified any measures of productivity gains because of the use of AI at Siemens at all?
Yeah, I mean, when we are looking at our approaches, about 40% of our efforts is related to quality assurance. And this means that we have systems or people who are checking or testing our products so that we can be sure that our customers get the best possible quality, so that their machines and their factories can run without any interference due to our products, at least. And we would like to increase our quality level always. That's always our passion. But on the other side, of course, we need to stay competitive. So the reduction of the efforts, but at the same time, increasing the quality, have led us to introduce AI. And in general, we have now in for the X-ray, a 30% productivity gain here. So in this case, yes, we were able to increase the productivity significantly. And I think this is not the end of the possibilities.
So Gunther, obviously you talk about the productivity gains with the increasing use of AI in manufacturing. Obviously, there are concerns about job displacement. And there have been all kinds of numbers right before Davos. IMF talked about up to 60% in developed countries, 40% maybe in less developed countries. How do you see AI impacting employment in the manufacturing industries? And what steps can be taken to address the potential challenges? Because job displacement of that kind of numbers can lead not just economic, but also societal upheaval, Gunther.
I can understand these concerns. I foresee that in the next 3 to 4 years, AI-supported teams will bring out industrial solutions that far outperform conventional solutions by maybe to 75% or more. And we, by which I mean especially Germany or high-developed countries, must participate in this additionally accelerated value creation and both utilize and protect our current expertise. Now, that's our goal. And we need to use our domain expertise to put us in the lead of AI-supported manufacturing. As the learning speed of followers will increase, so the utilization of AI is of importance to maintain the competitiveness, especially in Germany. There are always concerns, you know, that we are famous for and at all levels. And we need AI as much as any other country due to several challenges. We are not having enough skilled workers in the future. So we miss skilled workers. So the discussion if we will have less jobs or if this is a job killer is in this situation not our main concern, because we don't get enough workers at the moment. Though the only chance is we need to look for the possibility to support the skilled workers with artificial intelligence, with smart systems. And the other thing is we introduce technologies 4 to 5 times faster than 20 years ago in our factories. And when we have looked at it seriously, the average endurance of skills of people in manufacturing lasted about 30 years, 20 years ago. So when you something have learned, you could use it almost all your lifetime as a working lifetime. And now at least it lasts for 6 years, and then you need to learn another skill. So reskilling must be taken seriously. And if you reskill, of course, by the same, you stay competitive for your job also. And the other thing is many technological revolutions in the past have been predicted as job killers, but they have always led to growth, new jobs and job adoption. So that the current people, when they have an overlap between the introducing of that they worked with one technology and now there is a new technology, of course there needs to be adoption, and we need to support people so that they can be reskilled and be, let's say, then perform in their adopted new positions. So I look very positive in that aspect to the introduction of AI.
So, Gunther, just to follow a couple of points that you made, very, very important and relevant, because the discussions, at least in the US, have not really focused on manufacturing. And that's why having you is so critical as our senators, congressmen, and others listen to this. You say there is a shortage of skilled workers. And reskilling is very, very important. And that's true for most industrialized countries. Do you think the government needs to also step up in terms of reskilling these employees? As you said, it's a 6-year cycle now of technological shift. And this is a real major shift that is happening. So when we are doing these regulations, let's just say the EU AI Act or the US is getting into it, a focus should also be on the reskilling of the workforce too, right?
Definitely. It is one of our main focus and you cannot take advantage of an introduced technology if you are not re- and upskilling your workforce accordingly, because then it leads to nothing. No, you don't will get the benefits out of it. But on the other hand, of course, we are, especially as companies like Siemens, we have also a responsibility for our employees. We need to re- and upskill, but the same responsibility I see has the government. So they need as people who maybe are now confronted with a radical change in their job profile needs to be supported so that they can get back on work. And of course, with a profile which meets the expectations of our times, let's say. And for me, it's a joint collaboration where government and private initiatives needs to come together and come up with programs for the employees so that we prepare the current workforce and think about reskilling and upskilling and preparation, but also think about how can we already prepare the people which are still in academic, in schools and in skilled, and which are trained as skilled workers, so that they are already are prepared for that, what they will expect. So as they will work with AI, definitely, but also that their work by itself, so what they're doing, are supported with AI. So these are two dimensions, no? So one is you have introduced AI in the machines, in your system, in your processes, but also you are using AI to support the people so that they can perform their job. And both aspects we need to take into consideration. So yes, it's a joint effort, and we have to work together.
So I think what Gunther, you're saying is that there should be some kind of a public-private partnership towards the workforce. Final question on this workforce issue, because it's become a big issue, at least globally. When people have done polling for workers or people, that this is a big fear that they would lose jobs. Is Siemens or do you see the use of robotics growing dramatically in manufacturing?
Yeah, definitely. We are introducing much more robotic than when I look back into 8 years or 10 years before, because the robotic especially becomes more and more as a commodity. They are cheaper, especially the lightweight robots. You can introduce them with a four-digit number already. So it's not a huge and intense investment. And also supported by machine learning, by visual system, by haptic systems. So these robotics are able to fulfill work contents which were in the past very expensive or capital intensive to automate. These are like simple handling topics in the past. The famous example is to put something out of a box which has no defined position and place it into a machine. Now can be easily automated. In the past, that was one of the most complicated topics, no? Because you need to identify where it is and you need to define how you must turn and put it into a specific position. Now, this is now a common topic you can automate with a robotic. But also, as I said, especially we are lacking anyway employees, so we need to further automate, especially in our high developed countries, so that these topics needs to be fulfilled. And we are, especially in Siemens, our main topic is introduction of AI to support our people so that we can take away more repetitive, boring work, which is redundant or which leads to maybe physical or mentally stress situations. So keeping them healthy is one of our topics. So if you're looking 8 hours on a printed circuit board, which has very small components and structures on it, leads, of course, to tiring, to that they get tired and so on. So, and also the eyes are stressed. So everything which leads physically, mentally stress, everything what leads to quality in assurance, that is our focus. It's not our focus to replace people. It's more to support them in their current situation and to keep them healthy from a mental and physical point of view.
I think that's a very important point you're making is to transition workers to maybe more productive jobs, which are more mentally, physically safer, and let some of those mundane things be done through AI or robotics. And that's a very important point from a workforce standpoint. Gunther, talking about regulation and governance, From your perspective, how do you think AI should be regulated to ensure responsible and ethical use, especially in the manufacturing sector?
As you said, from my perspective, in the aspect of regulations, I believe really in the principle of minimum, as less as possible and as much as required, as simple as. First of all, we need to protect each person, living being, and environment of harm and negative consequences and assure personal rights. There's no compromise on this. And when I look especially on the EU, that our Commission President Ursula von der Leyen speaks of a legal framework for the development of artificial intelligence that people could trust. I think that summarizes it very well. I like this. And I think that should be really adopted by all industry, that we can trust. And to introduce AI in manufacturing for the companies, from my point of view, an implementation strategy should be in place. So first of all, you need to make sure that your infrastructure is in place and that it's safe, that you have experts in your team who has an eye on that, what you are doing. I mean, worst thing is that you're implementing an algorithm which you not understand and you don't know how it was trained. So you need your experts and you need a process. And in the end, you need a quality assurance. And quality assurance for us comes with quality framework, which incorporates relevant and actual regulations. So which is embedded now, that when you are following this quality framework, that you meet relevant and actual regulations, standards, and of course, possible best practices. And the typical fields for us and which we are following and also assess ourselves is safety. So no harm. Security, data security, private data and personal data, ethics in all aspects, no discrimination, legal that you fulfill, that you but still assure that your AI fulfills performance so that the outcome is that what you will expect in a simple way. That. Yeah, and last but not least, because it becomes more and more important that it has sustainability aspects. And that is from my and from our perspective in our factories, that what we are following.
So those are some very important points you talked about: transparency, quality, ethics, sustainability. Gunther, you are a global company. Now we have the EU AI Act. The US will probably maybe have some incremental rules, regulations. Other countries are going to have their own, China, India, and others. As a global company, what challenges do you foresee when in implementing these AI regulations on a global scale, and how can they be addressed? Because you have to kind of deal with these, hey, different regulations here, different regulations there, etc. How does an organization kind of deal with that?
Of course, we and I personally also can understand the intention of AI regulation, as we just discussed before, no, because it is important that there is regulation in place and of course, but it should not say limit us in regards of development and competition. But we also need to take into consideration that especially the European Union in total, and therefore neither Germany is at the forefront with this technology, especially. You know, in US and in China it's different because they have different regulations. That's a fact. When I look at, and we are a German company and we like very much to adopt also German regulations. And what we see here in the Europe, in the Europe area, the costs of legal regulations that companies, administrations and citizens must implement every year, just in Germany, is in the billions euros. And it raised about from 10 billion to 27 billion euros in just 1 year, from 2022 to 2023. So the financial consequences of these regulations are obvious. And the most topic what we see as a challenge is that all these regulations, there is a lot of overarching regulations. And due to these, that there has been added more and more regulations to it. So we have the General Data Protection Regulation, we have the Cyber Resilience Act, and now the current AI Act. So the most of the challenge is, of course, to fulfill all these regulations. And we would have wished that as a result, there's a lot of overlap and over-regulation now and contradictions. And that makes it as a challenge for us. So the regulations should first need to be coordinated and there should be less contradictions, which makes a company for us, which we are, of course, we are totally committed to fulfill these regulations, makes it costly and heavily to implement. And we feel that we are losing speed to other companies which are maybe following the laws of under other government. One example is as now developers here in Europe need to indicate when texts, images, or sounds have been created with the help of AI. That's okay, but we are now need to install a kind of an organization or people who constantly, of course, monitor these artificial intelligence. This is what additional burdens, additional costs, and it makes us slow and it's costly. So that's the overregulation, the overlap. We need to coordinate all these single regulations, what we are getting into it. That's a challenge for us.
Yeah, so what you're saying is there needs to be some kind of coordination, because otherwise the ability to innovate gets reduced. And especially think about those smaller companies. I mean, Siemens itself is a larger company. If smaller companies, how are they going to kind of deal with this burden? Gunther, talking about democratization of AI, how can AI be democratized in the manufacturing sector to ensure that smaller companies can also benefit from its advancement? We just talk about large, small companies. How can small companies also benefit from the advancements of AI in manufacturing?
I think AI is more than a chance for smaller companies than a threat. So the utilization and the introduction of AI by smaller companies have really great benefits, which I see. The co-working teams, for example, with AI can outperform in some areas already big companies and systematically purely human teams in design, development, and engineering in terms of speed and inclusion of a larger solution space, for example, which normally only big enterprises are able to. Now with this, smaller companies are able to do it. So there's more chances, and this will make it easier for smaller companies which have smaller development to catch up with industry giants. And also, even if they do not have access to large data sets, the use of synthetic data sets now also offers the possibility to train their systems very efficiently. This could put pressure on companies with deep expert knowledge in the medium term. So the democratization and the utilization of AI in the manufacturing sector for smaller companies is something which is already available by the hyperscalers and by the offers they already have. I think each company needs to have and to start with an AI strategy and to introduce it. But that's my point and my view on it. So I think here the chances and the possibilities for these smaller companies are huge to bring up efficient solutions with competitive prices.
So with the rise of autonomous systems in manufacturing, and which you talked about before, what challenges and opportunities does this present in terms of AI regulations?
Looking to make the most out of AI advancements and innovation? Visit regulatingai.org to learn more about how best to optimize the use and integration of AI, and sign up for the Regulating AI newsletter to keep up to date with the latest in AI governance and regulation.
The challenge, and in general, I mean, AI has the potential for a game changer, no? And it is in general purpose, it changed given cost structures and it uses an infrastructure. So the the general challenges here, I would say autonomous systems need in general stable and robust processes. And we know autonomous systems more for products with less variation. And these products maybe with a few process steps and are less complicated. So that's the general what we know when it comes to autonomous systems. I mean, autonomous systems already exist, as you already said, no? And this will change. Now more complicated and more variation will be introduced in autonomous system, definitely due to AI. But the process still, it will not be tomorrow. So there's still a way to go, because you need to combine different systems with each other, from image recognition to sensoric to process evaluation and interpretation. So there needs to be a more integrated work done, but it will come. So at the moment, it is possible for less variation and still stable processes. And in the future, there is the potential that we see more autonomous systems also for more complicated processes. To introduce AI in manufacturing, you need an implementation strategy. No? You should, that is what needs to be in place. And when you're following this, you have the possibility to develop a single, maybe autonomous workstation into autonomous work environment, and then maybe even later to a work autonomous production line and so on. But it's nothing which I see, which is has to be already and can be implemented right from the beginning, as there are so many things still to be considered and meet us during the manufacturing, which makes it really complicated. And the other thing is the paradoxum of workforce. The more complicated you introduce a system you develop, the more experts you need. And there we are at the beginning. Huh? So the more digitalization, the more algorithms you introduce, the more sensoric you use, the more experts you need to bring into your teams, which are still able to understand the system and to maintain the system and to debug the system. And this needs to be taken into consideration. And this is a limiting factor here, definitely.
So you mentioned this before, is that for autonomous systems, you need an implementation strategy. And also for more of these autonomous systems, you need experts. And those are excellent points, Gunther, for our listeners to keep in mind. Gunther, what ethical considerations should be taken into account when implementing AI in manufacturing, especially in areas like decision-making processes and automation?
Without repeating that quality, let's say, assurance process, which I mentioned with all the areas, for Siemens, for us, protecting the personal data of our customers, employees, and partners is an expression of responsible interaction with one another. And I think that needs to be considered when you are introducing this for all companies. No? Handling personal data is becoming an increasingly important success factor. You need to show your customers and your employees that you're taking this seriously. Data protection, compliant processing of personal data, including the general data protection regulations, for example, is one of the utmost importance to do so. As if you're losing trust, then you're losing your clients and your people. Yeah, that is, I think, something what is not negotiable. As Siemens, we are working with partners from the Siemens Charter of Trust. So to create an AI trust label, like you maybe know from the energy label. So the AI label will cover all aspects of trustworthy AI, as I explained it before. So, you know, the fairness, responsibility, data protection, reliability, cybersecurity, safety, ethical aspects. So we are participating in the European Laboratory for Learning and Intelligent Systems. So this means
We are committed to promote ethical research on AI and machine learning, and that we are committed to develop systems which are non-discriminatory. And we cooperate with research teams all over Europe in this aspect. And of course, we support the European Commission with this trustworthy AI, which we just have mentioned. And the only wish would be make it not so overlapping with other regulations. We need to take down here. You need also to think about, we have to implement all these, and it is definitely costly, very costly at the moment.
So just to quickly pick on one point, and you kind of mentioned this, your organization has large supply chains and large partners. You talked about trustworthy AI. Are you going to, as you said, it'll be like the energy label. Are your suppliers, partners in the supply chain also will have to adhere to some of those ethics and all these other principles?
Yes. Yes. We have a degree framework, which is also, of course, not only for us. We also are expanding our rules and ethical understanding to our partners and suppliers. And we have a framework in place where we ask them how they are dealing with this.
Well, that's a very important point, because an organization like Siemens and others has thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of suppliers and partners, and that will create a great ecosystem of trustworthy AI. Gunther, finally, I want you to pull out your crystal ball, as they say in the United States, and look ahead. And can you tell us some key trends and challenges that you see in the integration of AI in manufacturing? And how can regulations adapt to these changes? What do you see ahead looking into the future as key trends and challenges for AI in manufacturing?
What we see and what we are working is when we are thinking, then we are always implementing a digital twin of our factory. So a digital twin is the virtual representation of our physical installation, and that we are going to expand even into a so-called industrial metaverse, where you will be able, by using artificial intelligence, because the metaverse, of course, is incorporating a lot of technologies on one place, where you then would have a unique experience and possibility to collaborate, to experience, and to simulate in a virtual and safe environment before you bring it into a physical installation or in a physical asset. And there, AI will have most important role for this. And so the developing of AI into this metaverse collaboration for industrial partners is the vision, what we see, where we are going.
Wow, fantastic. A digital replica of Siemens, like the building you have in your back, in the metaverse using AI. Wow. We've heard of designer label shoes and other stuff, but now you're taking complete industrialization into the metaverse. That's fantastic, because I think it'll have implications for training and learning also in manufacturing. Gunther?
Exactly. Exactly. So you get the point. Exactly. You can collaborate, you can train, you can introduce, you can experience, you have so many possibilities without these asset heavy and of course from investment side heavy installations, and you are so much faster, and you can experience so many different options in a shorter time, and that will lead us to more sustainable solutions, for example.
Well, also for people who were thinking, hey, manufacturing might be an old, boring industry. Well, now you can work on some of the coolest technologies in metaverse and AI. So I think for our listeners who are listening, hey, it's not only Facebook and Google and others, but companies like Siemens and other manufacturers are doing some very cool stuff. So Gunther, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for this incredible learning, at least for us and for our listeners. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you, Sanjay. It was so much fun, this interview. Thank you for having me. Really, I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to the Regulating AI Innovate Responsibly podcast. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on the show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you'll never miss an episode, and leave us a 5-star review.